All right, family. Continuing on in our series this morning, may I introduce you to Christ. We're going to be in, once again, in the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. And what did we look at last week? Do anybody remember what we looked at last week? I think we covered a whole bunch of verses last week, right? Somebody said, I think so. Last week, we looked at Colossians chapter number 1, verse 15. Today, we'll be in Colossians chapter number 1. We'll be looking at verses 16 through 18. And as is our custom, I would ask that when you found it, you would stand to your feet for the reading of God's holy word. This morning, I believe I'll only read one verse in your hearing, and that is verse 16. Here's how my Bible reads. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Scotty, thank you for joining us this morning, sir. Family, continuing in our series again, may I introduce you to Christ. And listen, let me say this. This is a good launching pad to invite people to come and worship. I'll show you what it sounds like. Hey, man, you know, my pastor just started a new series. For real, what's it called? It's called May I Introduce You to Christ. That sounds interesting. It sure is. Why don't you come and join me Sunday? Y'all ain't going to help me preach today. Blake, I don't understand it. This morning, I'd like to speak briefly from this subject, the incomparability of Christ, part 2. The incomparability of Christ, part 2. Undoubtedly, Epaphras would have informed the Apostle Paul of the heresies swirling around, no doubt, the church there at Colossae. Damnable heresies that questioned the apostolic teachings of the person and the nature and the work of Jesus the Christ. A leading sect of the heresy hustlers, if you will, in that day were a group who referred to themselves as the Gnostics. And what made them so dangerous was it was their endless pursuit of using human wisdom to define godly mysteries. They believed that they and only they, apart from God, possessed the understanding or the secret knowledge of divine matters. Gnosticism, family, helped lay the groundwork for the Christological era that has plagued the church down through the centuries, such as Arianism, which was the thrust of the first ecumenical council at Nicaea, Asia Minor, there in May 325 AD. For the Gnostics, everything, family, understand, everything to the Gnostic hung on the dualistic view of good versus evil, with nothing being considered as neutral. Gnosticism, you see, viewed the material world as inherently evil and the spiritual realm as inherently good. Hence their ill-conceived worship of angels. They taught that true believers had to reject material or evil things such as marriage or certain foods, and instead may not desire the immaterial or the good things such as intellectualism, the secret knowledge that they peddled. Thus, when it came to Jesus, it caused the people of God to stumble by misrepresenting the person, the nature, and the work of Christ. They argued that Christ could not have been human because everything material, as they've already said, is evil. So how could Christ have been a man? He would have had to be all spirit, since only the spirit is good. So how in the world would you Colossians Christians believe that Jesus created the material evil world? That's blasphemous, they would say. Or that he, Jesus, being spirit, i.e. all good, would ever die. How could he ever possibly die in your stead? I like the way John MacArthur puts it, quote, "The Gnostics embraced the philosophical dualism common to the Greek philosophy that held that spirit was good and matter was evil. They argued that since matter was evil, the good God could not have created the physical universe," end quote. North Oaks, can we see, family, why this teaching is so dangerous? It is a direct attack on the scriptures and nonetheless the gospel message itself. The apostles knew what these heresy hustlers were peddling, and that's why they warned us in the scriptures of such against such teaching. Case in point, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard it is coming, and now it is already in the world." 1 John chapter number 4, verse 1 through 3. Case in point, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer." 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 1 through 5. Beloved, the Bible is correct. Jesus created the world, and God said that it was good. Amen. Jesus, the God-man, being fully divine and fully man, is good. And he saved his people from their sins. Family, I believe this text is tailored to teach us why all creation is subject to Christ. Can I tell you a little bit about it? When I look at this text, the first thing I see is the superintending source of all creation. That's right. Jesus Christ is the superintending source of all creation. It's right there in verse 16. And what this speaks to, family, this speaks to the agency of Christ. Can we say that together? The agency of Christ. This is another way of saying the instrumentality or the creative authority in Jesus in creation. Oh, it's right there in verse 16a. Look at your Bibles. "For by him, Jesus, all things were created." Family, this establishes the extent of Christ's creative expression. What is the extent? All things were created by Jesus. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. 16b says, get this, we're going to break it down. 16b says, both in the heavens and on earth. And what the apostle does here is he partitions, get this, the extent of Christ's creative genius into a set. He partitions the extent into a set, encompassing both the supernatural, the spiritual world, if you will, and the natural or the physical world. For by him, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth. But the apostle doesn't stop there, because 16c, he goes in and divides it even further. Look at what we have there, both visible and invisible. The apostle Paul further divides the set into a subset. Not only the supernatural and the spiritual world and the natural, the physical world, but now he has us know that it includes both that which is seen or material matter. You know, the stuff the Gnostics were saying was evil, and that which is not seen, the immaterial or the spiritual. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, both visible and invisible. But the apostle doesn't stop right there. He goes yet again another step. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. I heard one preacher say, there ain't no reason to try to explain all of that. Just know God created all of them. Y'all know Pastor Orr don't preach like that. Verse 16d. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Here, the Apostle Paul even further still delineates that Christ's authority extends to both earthly and spiritual kingdoms or rules, as well as both human and spiritual individual rulers. Paul's argument is simply that no one or no thing enjoys its existence apart from Creator God, Jesus himself. Oh, I'm getting excited already. For by him, all things were created, both in the heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, that's kingdoms, human kingdoms, spiritual kingdoms, or rulers or authorities, human rulers, spiritual rulers. But then look at 16e, the last part of verse 16. All things have been created through him and for him. Notice, family, that the Apostle Paul employs two differing prepositions with two distinct meanings. Jane, are you catching this? All right. First of all, he employs the preposition through. All things have been created through him. Here it is used as a function word to indicate means or agency or intermediacy. Why is this significant? I'm glad you asked. Because in Genesis we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. In fact, in Genesis chapter number 1, the phrase, then God said, appears no less than 9 times. Through the doctrine of what's called progressive revelation, John further espouses this thought in Genesis, the creation narrative, by revealing that Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus was distinct from God, but Jesus was with God, and that Jesus was God. And better yet, that all things came into being through Jesus. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. In other words, Genesis says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John said, and that's when Jesus got to work. And when God spoke, when the word of God came, it was Jesus, the agent, bringing everything into existence. I got to worship him because he made everything. Oh, man, I'm getting excited. Chris, when I think about that, he made everything and I get to worship him. But not only the preposition through, Jane, are you still with me? I'm looking right at you. Okay, not only the preposition through, but we have the preposition for him. You saw it. All things have been created through him and for him. Through him and for him. I like that because it forces me to go back to verse 16a because he uses a third preposition, or shall I say a first preposition. Now, what does it say in the beginning of verse 16? For by him. So there it is. Not just through him and for him. Let's put it together. For by him and through him and for him are all things. I like the way Paul put it in Romans chapter number 11, right around verse 36. For from him and through him, Jesus, and to him are all things. To him, Jesus, be the glory forever. Amen. It's an amazing thing. I can't even preach with a straight face. I got to smile. Not only family, not only do we see the superintending source of all creation speaks to the agency of Christ, but the next thing I see is the superseding sustainer of all creation. The superseding sustainer of all creation. I'm talking about Jesus, somebody. And what this speaks to the potency of Christ. And by potency, I simply means the power to perform. Oh, how many know we don't serve a dead God? Bible says that my God is mighty to save. Chris, now let me tell you something. I could just stop here. Because when I hear the word of God about my God, about my Jesus, it just does something on the inside. And when that Spirit of Christ indwells you and you learn all that he's done for us, all that the Bible says that in Christ we live, move, and have our being. We can't even move without him. He's done it. Not only has he done it, but he keeps on doing it. He keeps on doing it, Sandra. That's why he's sustaining us. Look at verse 17a. Our God is mighty to save. For he is before all things. He being Jesus is before all things. Family, this establishes the eternality of Christ's creative expression. The eternality of Christ's creative expression. Boy, the Jews, just like the world today, just couldn't figure this thing out. They just couldn't understand how this man, Jesus, from his daddy was Joseph, he was carpenter. How you mean tell me now you come here talking about you God? And you came from Nazareth of all places. Y'all ain't going to help me preach. Y'all remember Jesus' dialogue with the Jews there in John chapter 8? Abraham is our father. You, sir, you have a demon. As a matter of fact, you a Samaritan. You were an illegitimately born Samaritan. Yeah, we know your mama was pregnant. Yeah, we heard about that. You're illegitimate. You're a Samaritan. As a matter of fact, you have a demon. That's the way you're doing this stuff. Abraham is our father. You are not greater than Abraham, our father, are you? Jesus' response, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. The Jews, you're not even 50 years old. And here you come talking about you know Abraham. Have you seen Abraham? And what was Jesus' response? Truly, truly, I say to you, pren Abraham genestai ego e me before Abraham was. I am. Jesus evokes the divine name. And who knows what the Bible said the Jews did when he said that? Oh, they understood him. Bible says they picked up stones to stone him. Who is this man claiming to be eternal? I like the way A.W. Tozier puts it. He says, quote, God's eternity and man's mortality join to persuade us that faith in Jesus Christ is not optional. For every man, it must be Christ or eternal tragedy, end quote. Amen, somebody. Not only is he before all things, it speaks to the eternality of Christ's creative expression, but then secondly, 17b, and in him all things hold together. And in him all things hold together. This establishes the efficaciousness of Christ's creative expression. The Greek word we translate for hold together there is synesteken. And that word synesteken means to hold together, not just to hold together, but to hold together in the proper place, the proper order, or the proper arrangement. Let me show you, let me define synesteken for you. Later on this evening, when you go home and you've had supper, yeah, and I hope it's a good supper, and you put the kids to sleep, why don't you walk outside and stand in your backyard, stand in the parking lot, stand in the front yard and look up at the sky? Let me tell you what you're going to see. You're going to see a bunch of little bright dots. Can I tell you what you're not going to see? Aaron, you won't see them bumping into each other. You won't see them crashing to the earth. Because God, by the word of his power, upholds the universe. He is the reason why the sun ain't came out at night yet. If a man was in charge of it, I'd believe that at least once or twice the moon would have came out in the daytime. Y'all ain't going to help me preach. Let me get to it, Chris. They don't want to hear no preaching today. They said, Pastor, we don't want to hear no preaching. But it's truly amazing. Problem is, we always trying to act like we God. You can't be marveled at the marvelousness of God if you always trying to be God. I'm the only one that's shocked right now. It truly is an amazing thing. And I'll tell you that as grand as God is, this notion that he created everything. Look at this. Even little children, Gabriel Jr., even little children can believe that somehow or another, Jesus has the whole world in his hands. And they sing songs of praise affirming as much. Have you heard it? Have we heard it before? Turn it up. I like this. The itty bitty babies. That's enough. Listen here. Go ahead. Listen. As Sue Wood said, that done something to my heart. But what happens? What happens? You know, we grow up. We get educated. And we start to question everything that we were taught. We began to question everything that we believed. Anything that we can't recreate in a lab, we reject that. We began to see the world through the lens of philosophy, science, politics, reason, logic, all man's wisdom. And we trade in that childlike faith and innocence and humility that we once had to believe that somehow Jesus has the whole world in his hand. Amen. But what did Jesus say? Matthew chapter number 18, verse 3. Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Tell somebody sitting next to you right now, say, only Jesus. Only Jesus, the Creator God, can truly keep what he has created. Now, let me prove it to you. If this room was full of kids, they would have repeated every word that I said. If this room were full of children, they'd have repeated every word that I said. Get mad at me if you want to. I won't let it slide. That's what I'm talking about. We lose that innocence, that humility. Pastor, just a man. Who are you telling me? Well, I say what I want to say. Gigi, it's an amazing thing. Not only the superintendent source of all creation speaks to the agency of Christ, the instrumentality, the creative authority of Jesus. Not only the supersede and sustainer of all creation speaks to the potency of Christ, the potency to the power to perform miracles. But lastly, we see that Jesus is supremely seated above all creation. Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Fred. I appreciate the sincerity of leading our devotion. As a matter of fact, as I sat down there in that chair and I began to listen to you, 80 years old, you sounded like a child. I could hear the joy and the excitement that Jesus would do these things for us. It rubbed off on me, Fred. Thank you. I appreciate that. Amen. Jesus is supremely seated above all creation. It's right there in verse 18, and this speaks to the regency of Christ. And by regency, I simply mean the royal dominion. Well, Jesus is ruling jurisdiction. Look at the first part of verse 18. Verse 18a. He is also head of the body, the church. He is also head of the body, the church. This establishes, family, the enigma, the mystery of Christ's new creation expressed. Yeah, the body, the church, it's a new thing that Jesus did. Yeah, he did. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. I like the way King James put it. All things have become new. Not only is he our creator God, he's the recreator God. Amen, somebody. I like the way Paul put it in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 15, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, all these rules they had to follow, so that in himself he might make the two, the rule-following people, into one new man. And everybody who didn't follow the rules. He said he wanted to make them into one new man. This is a new creation. This is the church. Neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female, thus establishing peace. He is also the head of the body of the church. But then he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. I touched on this a bit last week, establishing the exaltation of Christ over his new creative expression. You see, Chris, this verse emphasizes a future prophecy that has yet to be realized. The Hebrew writer picks up on this as well in Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 8. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, under Jesus' feet. And then listen to what he says. For in subjecting all things to Jesus, he left nothing that is not subject to him. And look at that last sentence. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to Jesus. Does anybody want to argue that? Do y'all see how crazy this world is we live in? Folk don't want to respect the police. How you know? Because I am a policeman. I walk in the restaurant. I'm just trying to get me some coffee, mind my own business. Some people, they see me come in, they get mad at me, turn their nose up, start huffing and puffing and walk away. I say, well, thank you, Lord, the line just got shorter. Amen. How many of y'all know me outside of here? How many of y'all, I know some of y'all need to put your, Chris and Fred, if it wasn't for y'all, I wouldn't be here. Put your hands up at least. Charles, you don't know me outside of here? Get the childlike faith back. Vince, you know me a little bit out of here, right? We've had some coffee before, and we've talked and whatnot. Foy, Aaron, we ain't sat together and broke bread. Scotty, you know me outside of here. Y'all, listen, Scotty will tell you how I do my work. Scotty is in seminary with me. And I was surprised to walk in and see him on the piano today. Look at God. Here's what I'm saying. You would never know that I was a police officer if I didn't tell you. If you didn't see me in my uniform, you would never know I was a police officer. You know why? That's not where I get my authority. But when I'm at work, people come in my office and say, it's something about you. I said, I'm a man of God. How do you think people respond to that? You a pastor? I'm sorry. Let me excuse my language. I'm sorry. But when I come to church. But when I come to church. Y'all know how I told you when I'm wearing my uniform and people see me. And the disrespect just starts to flow. When I come in church as the pastor of this church. Why does disrespect flow here? Oh, you watch it, preacher. You on thin ice. We brought you in here. We'll run you off. See, the reality is no one here disrespects Pastor Orr. You disrespect God. It's truly an amazing thing. What do you mean, Pastor? Or I'm glad you asked, because if you keep on reading from Ephesians, in Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 8, but if you keep on reading just a little bit further, the Hebrew writer reveals the future fulfillment of this prophecy. Remember, we don't yet see everything in subjection to Christ, under Christ. It's folks in walking out here shooting up the place. But if you read a little further, the Hebrew writer reveals the fulfillment. At that time, according to the Hebrew writer, every blood-washed believer truly will see every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every angel, every demon, every created being, every mountain, every valley, every beast, every butterfly. Everything that has been made will be in subjection to Jesus. Amen. Don't take Pastor Orr's words for us. Right there in Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 10 through 12. Listen to the word of God. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things. This is Jesus, just for the record. And bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Saying, this is Jesus speaking, I will proclaim your name to my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise. Now I hear somebody say, well, Pastor, that's a citation from Psalm 22. Yeah, and it's being apostolically applied to Jesus here. It's an amazing thing. Every head bow, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Father, I thank you for your goodness, because without your goodness, I would do nothing good. You have created everything, despite what the world says. I believe you have the whole world in your hands. And I believe not only have you created, but you are the sustainer. That's why I'm not running to everybody when I have issues. The God who made me will sustain me. My feet will be planted until he moves them. Father God, we love you. Help us to believe this word and hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Appreciate that.
Fred says, I can tell when Pastor need a hug. Let me just come put my hand around him. Listen, I would like to ask you guys to pray for me. What happens when the enemy sees the hand of God moving in a place? He doesn't sit still and just keep quiet and hunker down or go somewhere else. He gets to going. And so I would pray that you guys would lift me up. And I'm not asking you to give me anything, but I'm asking that you would ask God to give me everything I need to stand firm. If you join us today, let me thank you for fellowshipping and worshiping with us. You could have gone anywhere, you could have done anything, and yet you chose to log in and have church with us here at North Oaks. For that, I say thank you. If you're ever in the Houston area, Spring to be exact, why don't you come through and shake my hand? Yes, I am a real person. Somebody said after that sermon, I know you're a real person. I'm a real person, and I would like to welcome you into the life of this church. Tell you all about what's going on here at North Oaks. I love pastoring North Oaks Baptist Church, because here at North Oaks, we are shining the light and glorifying the Father.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you for this message. Thank you for Pastor Rora. Father, we do lift him up. He has asked for prayer. We do bring him through Jesus, our mediator, to you. Praying, Father, that you would answer the call that he has made to you. So lift him up, please, we pray. And thank you, Jesus, for who you are. You are all in all. You are creator. You are God. We know there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself in John 17 said to you, Father, that you're one. You and the Father are one. He said it more than once. We don't understand that. I can't harmonize that. But someday we'll understand it. One God in three persons. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are dismissed.